Wow, that's quite an intro, Ben. Before I launch in, I've got to say that I have my friend and colleague Kath with me, and we've been working together since the start. And she's our children's minister at St. James Church, and we're a team, and we represent a wider team of people. And I come representing them and bringing their greetings with me this evening to you all. It is a privilege to be here. But tuatahi whakakororia tia ki a mātou mātui te rangi, tūroa I ngā rangatira, kia ora koutou, and I te hunga ora kia ora koutou katoa. It is good to be here. Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us. And we might allow ourselves to be open enough to be transformed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? What image comes to mind for you when you think about Jesus? We're going to have a few images tonight, and I'm just going to ask my friend upstairs if he'll bring up the first one. What image comes to mind when you think about Jesus? Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, there's only one Jesus. Do you mean there's more pictures of Jesus? Well, Jesus is Lord of the whole wide world, and yes, there is. Let's go to the next image. This image may be familiar to you. This is a famous image which was produced in America by an artist in America following World War II. And it's just this common image that comes to mind for us when we think of Jesus. This one is from North America. But let's look at the next image. This is also Jesus. Where do you think this image comes from? Africa, Ethiopia, to be specific. This is the image of Jesus that probably comes to mind more readily for those who are followers of Christ who live in Africa, particularly Ethiopia. What about this next image? Where do you think this one comes from? China, that's right. If you were a follower of Christ in China, it's unlikely that you would imagine an American-looking Jesus with Caucasian features in your mind. It's more likely, if you lived in China, that you would have an image which looked something like this. And what about this one? Where do you think that image comes from? That's right, from our brothers and sisters across the Tasman. This is an image which comes from Australia. And one more from Aotearoa, New Zealand. Now, this is actually, and I didn't write down, and I knew I'd forget, and I have forgotten. There's a famous artist which painted this picture of the Māori Jesus. Now, I wonder which of these resonates with you. Which one do you think of when you think about who Jesus is from you, for you? Reflect on that as I read the word to you. Tonight, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 35. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 35, it goes like this. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist. And others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Thanks be to God for this word. Who do they say I am, and who do you say I am? These are the questions that Jesus puts to his disciples in that passage that I just read. Who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? Jesus' identity, who he is a really strong theme in Mark's gospel. And it's a theme that gradually unfolds as the book goes on. Up to this point, the way Jesus has been talked about, up to chapter 8 of Mark, people have described Jesus in terms that they're familiar with or comfortable with. Rabbi, prophet, teacher, healer. That's how Jesus is described up till chapter 8 in the book of Mark. But at this moment, at this pivotal moment in the middle of Mark's gospel, Peter adds the title Messiah into the mix. And as soon as he says that word Messiah, do you remember what happens? Jesus hushes him and tells the disciples not to talk anymore about it. Why do you think he did that? Peter's just hit on something. And the first thing Jesus does is says, shh, shh. Well, perhaps Jesus could see that their understanding of who he was limited. Perhaps Jesus thought they weren't ready to fully comprehend who he was and what was to come. Or perhaps Jesus thought their view of what a Messiah was didn't correlate with the type of Messiah he had come to be. Their idea of a Messiah, who they thought a Messiah was meant to be, was some sort of heroic king, some sort of superhero figure. But that's not the type of Messiah that Jesus came to be. Jesus was going to accomplish salvation, but it was going to be through suffering, not through conquest. Who do they say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? You know, how we answer that question, our view of who Jesus is, the image we have of him in here and in here, how we characterize him in our mind, it's really important. It's important because who we say Jesus is will affect everything. If taken seriously, that question, who do you say I am, can change the whole orientation of our lives. I've got another picture of Jesus for you. So I have three children. Their names are Bryn, Lucy and Callum, and they're 11, 9 and 7. A couple of years ago, I asked Callum, my youngest son, to draw a picture of who Jesus was for him. And this is what he drew. This is the image of Jesus that Callum carries around with him. Jesus with his arms reaching out to Callum, and Callum with his arms reaching out to Jesus. I wonder what comes to mind for you when you ask that question. What image do you have inside? What would you draw if someone asked you to draw who Jesus was for you? And what does your image say about, actually not about yourself, but who Jesus is and who Jesus came to be? And how does that image affect you? How does it affect your life? Where did that image come from? Is your go-to image of Jesus one from your past? If it is, does it actually make sense to you now? And is it an image that you think is sufficient to sustain your faith as you grow in the years to come? I have another image of Jesus with open arms. Actually, there's quite a few. You have a look and choose your favorite. They're all kind of Jesuses that we see from popular culture. If you Googled Jesus, you'd get images which looked like this. And they're all kind of familiar to us. Jesus ready to receive us. Jesus ready to embrace us. Jesus with a big smile and a bright glow. You know, European open-armed Jesus, it's a bit of a cliche, but it does resonate with many of us because, among other things, we grew up with images like this. And these images are everywhere in our culture. But what do these images say, and what do they not say about who Jesus is? Well, if nothing else, these images say, Jesus loves me, this I know. And that does say something. Something really important. But it doesn't say everything. For a start, these images are Western and individualistic. Jesus is a European, and his outstretched arms are inviting individuals into an embrace. I've got another picture. Here's another picture of Jesus with open arms. This one is by a Korean artist named Shin Yong-hun. And you'll see this image has Jesus with open arms, but it's so different from the last picture, isn't it? Yong-hun's open-armed Jesus gives a much bigger, broader view of who Jesus is. He shows Jesus on a beach, and his open arms draw all kinds of people into his whirlwind of new life. There's more than one person that can fit in this embrace. And if you look closely at this picture, you'll see on the far right, there's a pair of fishermen in the background. These are two of Jesus' disciples, perhaps James or John or Peter and Andrew, who Jesus has called away from their boats to follow him. And then you can see on the other side a figure touching Jesus' robe. Probably the woman who suffered from hemorrhaging for 12 years, who was healed just by touching that hem. These and many others from myriads of backgrounds are swept under Jesus' gigantic arm span. And look at those arms. They take up the whole horizon, the whole community is gathered under these open arms. Jesus' arms are like an umbrella of love and grace and protection. This speaks of Jesus' love for all people. But that's not all. If you look even closer, you'll see there is more than one image of Jesus in this picture. You'll see in the background, if you look very closely, there is someone with a pointing finger. And this is another image of Jesus in this picture. The big Jesus in the foreground, he gathers, loves, fills, and protects. But the second Jesus, the pointing Jesus in the background, is sending out. He points to the vast needs that are present in our community and in the world. And what this Jesus is saying is that transformed by that love and assurance we receive from God, Jesus also sends us out to share that love with others. And this is what this picture of Shin Yong-hun's open-armed Jesus points to. We are loved by a God, loved beyond what we could ever imagine. But we are also called to take that love and share it with others. Yong-hun's open-armed Jesus reminds us that God's love is twofold, as does this last picture that I have for you. I wonder if you know where this marae is. Is this marae familiar to anyone? This is my marae. It's up in Ahope. It's called Te Maungarongo. And it's the marae of the Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa, New Zealand. You should go and see it sometime. Go and stay. It is absolutely tino atahua. It is just a beautiful place to be. And you will see, if you look at the next picture, that at the apex, instead of a tekoteko, there is a parata. Instead of a warrior chief at the head of this marae, there is Jesus Christ. And instead of a taiaha, he is holding a cross. And if you know your architecture of a wharenui, you'll know that the gables that come out, they are like open arms, outstretched in welcome. And at Te Maungarongo, that's what the mahi are. They're Jesus' arms welcoming the people into the body, to be in the body of Christ, into the wharenui. And still at the apex, though, there is the challenge of Jesus with the cross. The mahi remind us that God loves us. But Jesus on the parata with the cross reminds us that we are called to take up our cross and follow him and share that love in a sacrificial way with others. And so let me remind you of those questions I asked you at the start. Who do you say I am? What images of Jesus are you carrying around with you today? And what does your image say about who Jesus is and who he came to be? And how does that image affect your life? And where does that image come from? When was the last time you thought about it? Is your go-to image of Jesus one from your past? Does it make sense to you now? And is it an image that you think is enough to sustain you as you grow in your faith in the years to come? My challenge to each and every one of you tonight is to think and pray and consider carefully and deeply who you think and say Jesus is. Look at the images and ideas you're carrying around in your head and your heart and think about whether they hold both the assurance of God's love for you, but also the challenge to pick up your cross and follow him. That question, who do you say I am? If you take that question seriously, it can and should change the whole orientation of your life. Who we say Jesus is should affect everything. If Jesus is just an attachment to our lives, it might cause us to come to church on Sunday, listen to Bible stories, become friends with those we meet here at your church, perhaps use our gifts to help others from time to time. But if Jesus is the Lord of our whole lives, we will rise each day and we will give thanks for the life that God has given us. And we will come to church each Sunday seeking to drink from the living well of life to nourish us. And we will listen to Bible stories and allow them to transform our hearts and our minds and the choices we make. And we will see the people around us not as friends or just colleagues or people we know a little bit. We will see people as our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the body of Christ, which is called to know Christ and make Christ known to the last, the lost, and the least of these. If Jesus is the Lord of our lives, strengthened by the love of Christ, we'll go out from here tonight seeking to find ways to welcome other people into Jesus' loving embrace. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to enter into the Advent season, that season which prepares us for the coming of Christ. And we know that it goes crazy. The world, in every way you can imagine, is going to call us repeatedly to spend and consume in a ridiculous way. We're going to be bombarded by images of expensive products, and they're going to tell us, the people who made those products, that those products are going to make us happy. But let us remember this Advent where true joy in life is found. It's found in the one who came to us here on earth at Christmas time. And let us remember the real picture of how Jesus came to us. He arrived not wrapped in tinsel or Christmas lights. He came wrapped in rags and lying in a manger. He came to us as a helpless baby, a refugee born to a teenage mum in a rundown shed. Yet even then, rich people in the form of kings and poor people in the form of shepherds gathered before him and bowed down to worship him. And then, strengthened by the light and love of baby Jesus Christ, they ran out and proclaimed the gospel to everyone they could find. Let this, the heart of the Christmas story, remind us that Jesus' love is for all, rich and poor, and everyone in between. And this Christmas, allow us to be affected by the love of Christ deep down. And then let us be like the shepherds and the kings and go out into our community and proclaim the good news and share the love and the life of Christ with all those we encounter, especially those that the world forgets, especially the last, the lost, and the least of these. Let us pray. Jesus, our Lord, our Messiah, we pray to you this evening that you will give us the courage to open our eyes, our ears, our heart, and our mind to see how big you really are. Lord, we confess that sometimes we make you into something we want you to be. We're sorry. Please forgive us. Heal us. Strengthen us. Inspire us with a bigger picture of who you came to be for us and for the whole world. Jesus, let us embrace who you really are, a God who opens his arms to us and loves us beyond what we can ever imagine, and also a God who calls us to go out and share that love with others. This Advent, this Christmas, please help us, Lord, not just to try to fit you into our lives, but Lord, help us to allow you to be who you are, the Lord of our lives. May everything we do, from when we rise in the morning till we rest at night, be in thanks and praise of your love for us. And Lord, give us the courage and the strength and the passion to share that love with others with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.